This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My special guest tonight is a composer, an arranger, a trumpeter, and an educator who has worked with local and international artists across jazz and popular genres, has performed with numerous bands including the Hoodangers, the Andrea Keller Quartet, the Alan Brown Quintet, the Australian Art Orchestra, the Bennetts Lane Big Band, including his own quartet as well, or quartet. But it's interesting that he writes his quartet's name as the numeral four with a tet on the end. I must ask him about that. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the Bent Notes studio Eugene Ball.
David, thanks for having me.
Why is it quartet rather than the full word quartet?
No particular reason. None at all.
Just struck you as nice at the time.
I think so. Or now, lazy.
Oh, is that what it is? Well, one thing, of course, is it does save on the wastage of ink and toner to have to write the entire word.
Yes, it does.
You're here tonight because you're having a party.
We are. The Melbourne Jazz Co-op is throwing a party for one of Australia's jazz legends, Keith Hounslow.
So who is Keith?
Keith is a trumpet player who was born 90 years ago in Perth. And he's, you know, widely regarded as one of the most significant figures in Australian jazz, particularly to those of us who like to play a variety of styles of jazz. Keith was, you know, very much part of the early jazz scene in Melbourne, and, you know, he attended the second jazz convention ever in Australia and many more of them. But he was not entirely content playing only traditional jazz, and in a very real way, he's one of the true pioneers of freer improvisation and more contemporary jazz in Australia.
Here in Australia?
Yeah.
It's not imported from the States or anywhere else. It's just developed here. Was it in Perth that he worked in this area or over here?
No, he left Perth as a young man and moved to Melbourne, spent a bit of time in Adelaide with Dave Delwitz, then moved back to Melbourne. He did some national tours with the American trumpet player Rex Stewart, who is from the Duke Ellington band. So Rex came out here and ended up staying here for quite a while, but Keith went on that tour and played third trumpet in one of their kind of finale pieces.
Oh, wow. How did Keith influence you as a musician, Eugene?
Well, Keith is somebody who I've listened to, you know, a lot over the years. And in fact, my dad used to play with Keith. My dad is a clarinet player who spent a long time with Frank Traynor, the famous trombonist, and Keith Hounslow spent a long time with Keith as well. Keith Hounslow spent a long time with Frank as well. Yeah. So Dad crossed paths with Keith in the Traynor band. And in fact, I was reminded by my mum just a couple of days ago that when I was three, I went on tour with Keith and my dad on tour. They had a gig in Noumea. So,
well, that's on tour.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
On tour in Noumea. At three, do you recall that trip?
Absolutely not.
And were you playing anything at three?
Absolutely not. No.
But you were obviously taking in all that music.
Perhaps, yeah. I do remember Keith, you know, when I was not quite as young as three, from, you know, some of the jazz rorts or the jazz parties that I inevitably got dragged along to.
Dragged along to, at the time, might have been the sense, but perhaps a different sense now.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I have very
indeed.
Fond memories of falling asleep under pianos whilst all sorts of cavorting was going on.
And no doubt not having any problem sleeping, which other people would have looked down and said, how can he sleep with all this raucous music around?
That's probably true.
So Keith had, as I understand it, an official 50 years of performing before he retired.
Yes.
Was there something about his musicianship that changed the Australian jazz scene?
Look, for me, I think it was, you know, I think his influence is really comes down to the fact that he it's not that he didn't sort of see genres, but he didn't really care for them so much. He was utterly unafraid to, you know, to traverse genres, and that's a really important role model that was important in my upbringing, to kind of understand that, you know, you didn't have to be a tradder or a contemporary player, that, you know, they were still all, you know, they're just making music and improvising. So who cares what you call it? Who cares what the kind of other instruments are around you? Let's just get on with it and make music.
Music is music, irrespective of what the genre might happen to be.
Absolutely.
Just be careful when you mix the two together. mix them very well. Now, I've read that Keith was a prodigiously open musician, and as you said, easy in context from the deepest trad to an absolutely free styling. It sounds like a great skill to have and one that other musicians would perhaps like to develop. Is that a skill that you can teach, or is it something that's within a person as they grow up?
I mean, I guess you can just lay it on the table as an option right from the start to say that, you know, I think a happy improviser is one who has a really open mind and is excited by a wide variety of musics. And I think in some ways the opposite of that is one who kind of boxes themselves into a certain thing. And, you know, then again, some people might call that dedication. So, you know, it takes a whole lot of people to make a world, so
it does,
you know.
Indeed. Now, yeah. I believe that Keith played a piccolo trumpet.
No, he played the pocket trumpet.
Pocket trumpet. That's what it says here. I just didn't read it properly.
Keith recently bequested me, you know, in advance of his passing. He's still very much alive. I talked to him the other day. He's fighting fit. But he passed on to me his iconic pocket trumpet. It's a really extraordinary instrument. I mean, a pocket trumpet is the same length of tubing as a trumpet, but it's just wrapped much more tightly.
Oh, so it's physically smaller.
Yeah, so it's much smaller to hold. It's the, I don't know how to describe how big that is, but, you know, maybe it's
smaller than the basketball.
Yeah, yeah, it's as big as two cans of beer, perhaps, or something like that. I don't know. I mean, that's a telling yardstick to use. But many pocket trumpets, you know, contemporary pocket trumpets are kind of a bit gimmicky and not particularly well-made instruments. But this comes from a very serious trumpet maker in the US called Benj Company. And it's one of a particular kind of era where they were really at the top of their game. And it's a startlingly good instrument. So I'm, you know, utterly privileged to be play that instrument. So, and I'll be playing that on Sunday for Keith's birthday.
Which brings me to the question, it's a party, but what type of party are you having?
Well, it's a concert/party. I mean, I am hoping to get a cake organised.
That'd be great.
But Keith will be there. He'll be rapt to see, you know, some of his old friends and some of his, you know, more recent admirers. He's very, very... I've been in close contact with him for the last couple of years, and he's super humble. He'll just be very excited to hear us all play. Yeah, he's still a very avid listener of jazz, and he feels strongly about encouraging the musicians that he likes. So if he hears a record that he likes, he will seek out the musicians who made it and let them know that he liked it.
Oh, that's good to hear.
It really is.
And it must be good from a musician's perspective when someone out of the blue comes along and says, I like what you're doing.
It really is, because, you know, there's a lot of people making jazz and there's a lot of excellent people making jazz, and it very much is a labour of love. It's a very expensive thing to make albums, and, you know, there's no way that you can recoup that kind of money. It takes a lot of energy. So, you know, when somebody such as Keith, you know, goes to the effort of getting in contact and saying, hey, I dig it, then it's, you know, it absolutely makes you feel a little bit better about pushing through.
The program sounds as if you're going to be a little bit busy. You've got an early jazz context of Keith's with John Scurry's Reverse Swing.
That's right. So the album that we made with John Scurry recently, called Post Matinee. Yeah,
great
Keith,
album.
Yeah, I must say I think John's just put together a great album there. I really love it. But I passed that on to Keith and he was besotted with it. So that's why I've asked John to come and play, because Keith is just a huge fan of his music.
You've got your quintet format.
Yeah, so the quintet is one of Keith's albums from 1958. Was in fact a Brian Brown album. Brian Brown was one of the sort of pioneers of contemporary jazz in Australia, headed up the VCA for many years. So 1958. And they were playing, yeah, this album's essentially a kind of bebop-y kind of album. And I was flabbergasted when I first heard it. They were really kicking ass, like just playing so hard and so strong. It was a side of Keith's playing that I wasn't aware of until I heard this album. So, and I thought, you know, given that Brian was such a kind of significant influence on so many Melbourne musicians through his time at the VCA, I thought it would be appropriate to play some of his pieces from that album.
And then you've got just the duo format with Tony Gould.
Yeah, so Keith spent many, many years performing in the duo format with Tony. They made a bunch of albums under the name of McJad. They did a lot of touring together, and I know that was it's one of Keith's favourite, you know, parts of his musical life. He's really proud of it, and he treasures the music that he made with Tony. So, and I've been lucky enough to, you know, play with Tony a fair bit before, so Tony was gracious enough to agree to come and do it with me playing the trumpet.
It's going to be a fantastic afternoon. It's next Sunday afternoon.
That's correct.
September 33 till 6 p.m. at the Jazz Lab, 27 Leslie Street, Brunswick. Nice room there for your party.
It's a beauty.
Tickets and other information from jazzlab.club.
That's right.
I'll get the website right. Last time I got the wrong suffix. But jazzlab.club is the website. All the details there for next Sunday, September 30. A huge repertoire, obviously, to choose from, Keith's career. How did you make your choice?
Oh, look, I haven't quite made the choices in terms of repertoire yet, but in terms of, you know, which ensembles to include, that was quite tricky. But I mean, you know, John was an easy choice because, as I say, Keith is such a fan. You know, playing in the duo format with Tony was a no-brainer because it was such a significant part of Keith's life. The thing that I didn't expect was the quintet, because that's, yeah, like I say, it's just such an unexpected side of Keith's. Well, it was unexpected for me to hear him play, you know, with such obvious influences from Clifford Brown and Freddie Hubbard.
Thank you for popping in, Eugene. Great to hear about it.
David, thanks for having me.
It's going to be a great weekend, or great Sunday, next Sunday, September 30. So we look forward to that. And I have found a piece of music called Tittle for Tattle. It is from McJad, from Tony Gould and Keith Hounslow from a number of years ago now. And if I checked my notes, I'd probably be able to find out what year it was if I wrote that down, and I can't find my... There's my bit of paper. 2003 is the album date from Move Records. Thanks again for popping in.
Thank you.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.